You're welcome. Father God, we thank you so much for waking us up this morning and allowing us to see another day. We thank you for even allowing us to gather here this evening to study your word. We ask that you would be in the midst. We ask that you would open our eyes and our minds so that we can receive your word and what it is that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide Reverend Abernathy and just illuminate the word for all of us. We thank you and we love you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Kelly. I also want us to be mindful of praying for Una. She's usually with us on Tuesday and Thursdays. So let's put Una in your prayers as we go, and as we close, we will include her in our closing prayer. I believe we're like in chapter 5. If we are not starting 5, 5 star me, so I'll know for sure. If anyone remembers Genesis, the 5th chapter, it's the note I have. But if you have anything differently that we missed, 5 star me, so I'll know where to go back. I don't see any 5 stars, so I'm assuming we are all together on the 5th chapter of Genesis. Now, did anyone do homework and read chapters 5 and 6 of Genesis? Because I'd like for you to read in advance, so if something captures your attention, you can research it or you can come back and ask questions about what you read. So anybody have any questions or any comments or anything they've read in this last week or so? 5 star if you do. Okay, if there are no questions, I'm going to start with the beginning of chapter 5. If that is not correct, please correct me by pushing 5 star. Genesis, the 5th chapter. This is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. I'm going to stop right there. And what do you see there that you have not seen or heard before? And I'm reading from the King James. It may be similar or different in whatever translation you're reading from. Do you see what's different in those two verses, the first 2 verses? Anybody see anything they had not seen or heard before? Read it over. This is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Now I should see everybody's 5 star light up. Sharon, Kelly, Francis, Miss Betty? No one? Okay, let's go over this again. How did God create humankind?
Mom, I'm sorry. I just want to butt in here because all of our hands are raised. I'm not sure why you don't see that.
I do not see that. Not a hand raised.
Yeah, sometimes you have to refresh the screen, and maybe that's what it is, because that happened to me last week while you were doing it, and I'm looking, and I'm like, that doesn't, yeah, but all of our hands are up, so.
Okay, because I'm on a different computer tonight, would you take care of my hands raised in that for me then? Okay, I appreciate it. Sorry, folks, because I'm not getting that. I had to change computers at the last minute because Satan is trying to stop our venturing forward in this. So Kelly's going to control the raised hands, and she'll call on them, and I'll know who she's calling. So you want to start from the top or the bottom, Kelly?
Okay. I had erased their hands, but they all were up, so I'll open each at one time. So.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you this evening, everybody? It is a little confusing.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, but I don't know, this computer, I just plugged it in to start because the other one wouldn't work. And
okay.
So Kelly's going to control the calls and just tell me who's speaking. And you go ahead. She'll unmute you and mute you back.
Okay. This is Sharon. And when we first started out, we wanted to know how Adam got his name. This tells you how Adam's name was gotten.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same story you talked about. You didn't realize that they were stories.
Right.
This is a book of the generations of Adam. So it's telling you a story. This is how it came into being. And it's kind of interesting because it reiterates what we've learned in chapter 2 and how he was created in chapter 1.
Right.
For humankind.
Right. And as it goes on, when it says created in the image, that means anything that Adam has created will be in Adam's, it will be from him that goes down from generation to generation to generation.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to see because that's how God was created. And if you look at that first verse, Adam was created how?
From what?
Look at the verse. It tells you.
I got tongue tied.
Oh, okay.
He was created in God's image.
Absolutely, and that's what we have to keep in mind. In the likeness of God made he him. God made Adam like himself.
Yes. And then so on and so forth through the generation.
Okay.
All right.
Very
next.
Good. You say next?
Next, Kelly.
Okay, I'm going to meet you back, Sharon. Let's see. Ms. Francis,
well, I'm asking the question because I'm sort of, I guess I'm confused. It says the way the sentence is reading is that it's referring to male and female and named them man. And I'm trying to, I guess it's the way I'm interpreting the way the sentence has been written. At least
now
in my Bible it says, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. When they were created, he blessed them and named them man. So it's, I guess it's the way I'm interpreting what I have in this particular reading of it's a saying that male and female. So perhaps I'm interpreting it wrong, the way it's written here. Apparently.
No, you're absolutely on target because the King James also says the same thing. It says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. And that's the thing we need to see because Adam, and we may or may not have talked about this last time or in one of the other sessions, that Adam actually means humankind. It's both the male and the female. So when you do the translation, it's inclusive of both. He made male and female. He created them and he blessed them. It's not singular like we've always read Adam as being singular.
Okay.
Early on, I think we did ask, like Sharon said, we had wondered where Adam got his name from, and assuming his name came, and there is a scripture that when he named all the animals, then it switches over and gives him the name Adam. But Adam is humankind. It is both male and female. And that's why you have the plural of their name. He called their name Adam. So he called them human beings is what it's actually saying. And that's something we hadn't heard heretofore. Does that sort of answer your question? You're not reading it wrong.
Well, instead of Adam, in my line, it's...
Dead man.
It's man instead of Adam.
Yeah, and it really should...
I'm sorry.
If it wasn't for sexism, it should have said humankind.
Okay.
Instead of just man.
Okay.
Because he's creating them together.
Okay. Very good. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Any clearer?
Okay.
I'm sorry?
No.
I was just checking. Did you have anything else?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Miss Betty, have her name, her hand up?
I think so. But I wanted to add something on that before we moved along.
Okay.
So it's basically reiterating and confirming what it is that you said. And so, because we had this conversation the other day, and I looked in the concordance, and I'm not sure, I might not have been there if you explained to them how why we use a concordance, because the first Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And so when we look at certain words, and I know she has said before that sometimes we can't just assume that the word means the same thing that it means to us in English because of the time and the language in which it was written. And so when we look in when I looked it up in the concordance, it is just as what she was saying. In that particular verse, Adam or Adam is how it is pronounced. In that particular verse, it does mean human being or mankind. So, and then in some others where it refers directly to Adam, the particular man, it's uppercase A, and it's pronounced a little bit different. So that's just to confirm what she's saying, that it is definitely, it means humankind. And so what Ms. Francis is saying is correct, is, you know, it's both right.
Thank you for that.
But I just wanted to, you know.
Thank you both.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to mute myself and mute Ms. Betty. Let's see, did I do it?
My hand.
Okay, you're open.
I didn't raise my hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, thanks for raising, Miss Betty.
Huh?
Well, since you're here, do you have any comments on that, and had you heard that before? That their
no.
name.
No, because I was wondering where Eve's name was. Now I know.
Okay, and Eve's name is at the end of which chapter we already did? I'm not sure. It's at the end of 2, I think, when it
okay.
says Adam, Eve was the mother of all kinds. It's after 2, I believe.
Okay.
I'm getting that interference, and I don't know if it's my phone or what, because I have a different computer now.
Okay,
but did you find that?
I remember hearing her name before. I was just wondering why it wasn't in this particular verse. It's at the end of it said the creation of Eve is chapter 2, verse 21. It starts.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And see, this one is putting them both together. It's telling the story. And their names, their name was humankind, and
okay.
it falls into place because the cattle and the fish, everything was named or called by its generic name. I don't know
okay.
why this is happening. Okay, does that make a little bit more sense?
Yes, Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Anybody else raise, Kelly? Because I'm not getting
yes.
any. Yes,
Shannon. Ms. Shannon is raised. I'm going to unmute her.
Okay.
And then, okay, you're open now, Shannon.
Okay. In chapter 3, verse 20, that's when Adam called his wife's name Eve and said that she was the mother of all living.
Okay.
Chapter 3, verse 20.
Okay, and this is something that happens when stories are being told, even in scripture, because they will vary somewhat. They'll be similar but different. And when if we study the New Testament, you get all four Gospels, and they're all a little bit different.
Yes.
They're telling the same stories, but they're telling them from a different perspective. And it's something called critical Bible study that gives us these different kind of versions and the version and the different timing of everything that happens. And it's something called JEPD, and that the J, the E, the P, and the D each stands for a different writer. In the Old Testament, as we go on, maybe we can consider or look up what that actually means, who was writing it. And they write according to their occupation, and that's what the J-E-D-P is. When in the Gospels, in the New Testament, each writer is writing according to their own background. It's like Luke is concerned, is a physician. So he writes about the health of people. If you look at it, his things are always kind of medically or health-oriented. They each have a purpose for writing, and their writings, even though they're telling the same or similar story, they sort of come together again according to their own background. It's like if each one of us was telling the story of what we read or heard, they'd be different. They wouldn't be the same. But this is so good because you see the story of Adam's generation is being told a third time, the creation, in that they're reminding us of how Adam was made and how Adam will continue on that same process of creating in his own likeness. Make sense? Just keep me posted, Kelly, because I can't. It's not turned over again. Any more questions before we move on? But we know their names were called, they were called humankind. It's like if we went to another planet and we saw some kind of creatures, we'd have to give them some kind of name. And in creation, everything was named. But in reality, God named humankind. And later on, if you read far enough, long enough, you'll find that we are called gods, just like the God that we know. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, what did we just see there? Hello? Hello?
We're here, but we're muted.
Huh? My whole screen went out. There must be something.
We're here. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe something's going on your end, but everybody's here. We can hear you.
Okay, well, that's about all.
Yeah,
I'll just talk. As long as we didn't lose the phone connection,
no.
Go through blindly, okay?
Yes.
Did anybody raise their hand on this verse?
No,
Adam lit verse 3.
I have a question.
Yes.
I think, I'm not sure if Miss Betty was here, but we all were here. It's the same people who were here on Tuesday, I think. Because we did chapter 5 on Tuesday. Well, we didn't.
I know Francis wasn't there. Who
oh,
else?
She wasn't? Oh, okay.
On
I'm
Tuesday,
sorry.
Not on Tuesday.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought she was with us. Okay.
You and Sharon make all of them, and it gets confusing for you and for me because I don't want to leave out anything important, but I don't know. Okay?
Yeah, you know, you're good. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, thank you. And Adam lived to be, this is verse 3, 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. What is that telling us? Somebody. Anybody, Kelly? Kelly, are you there?
Yes. It just takes me a second, yes. We have two hands. I'm going to do them one at a time. Ms. Sharon, you're unmuted.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. That's telling us that Seth actually took traits of Adam as his appearance as it goes down through generations. It said in his likeness.
But what does it say about Adam?
It says that he lived for so long and he begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called him Seth. That means that when Adam produced Seth, there was likeness physically and spiritually with inside of Adam, which all goes back to coming from God.
Yay! That's the reality.
That's what we learned Monday.
Okay. But that's the reality because it makes a point of saying that Adam was created like God, in God's likeness. Humankind, look at it for the whole picture. Humankind, which was mankind, was created in the image of God, in the likeness, and we know that he was given all power. So when Adam, being the firstling of creation of humankind, gets ready to reproduce, he reproduces a child just like himself, and he himself is just like who?
God. Yes.
Isn't that powerful, though? You can trace your lineage back to God.
Yes.
So when he says little children to you, you know that you are his child. When Jesus comes along and say we are joint heirs, that means we're both inheritors. Remember, he blessed them. So if he blessed them, what is he doing? Giving them what?
An inheritance.
Right. And what is the inheritance he gave us? Don't be afraid.
Everything that was within him, spiritually, he gave that to us, which is power to do things if we use them.
And what's our domain?
Everything.
He gave
us
dominion.
Over the earth.
I didn't hear you, Sharon.
Really?
I didn't hear it.
Over the earth and every living thing that's in it.
Absolutely. Now, did you know, and I'm asking everyone this, did you know you had that much power and inheritance and responsibility?
I don't know, but I didn't.
You didn't know? Most of us didn't know.
Yes.
Because what? You're cutting off.
No, until I start reading this.
Okay.
Ending it.
It's the truth of what you see in his word. And if you take time to think about it and see how it goes along, it becomes awesome. It's awesome.
It becomes very powerful.
Yes, because everyone, it's been passed down in his own likeness and his image. And he called his name Seth. Okay, I'm going to go on to 4, and the days of Adam.
Another hint. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I don't see. I got a blank screen. Go ahead.
Okay, one second. We'll have to mute Sharon back first. Okay. Miss Betty, you're unmuted. Miss Betty?
Yes. I was going to respond in a similar way that Sharon did about when you asked, what did you see? And when Adam begat son in his own image and likeness, I was going to reflect back to God that Seth was also in God's image. And it was just what Sharon has said.
Very good. If you draw a chart, what do you call the things, the word, ancestry?
Genealogy, yeah.
Right, okay, genealogy. If you did genealogy on this, we start with God, and it goes all the way back to God. Because we learned that humankind was, when we talked about the host of everyone was made, everything and everyone, it was everybody was made and created by God at that time. So our genealogy traces back, and we are in the likeness, we are in his image. That's why it was so important to get a picture of what it meant to be made in the image and likeness of God. Thank you, Miss Betty.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Kelly, if you need to, if there's more you need to tell me.
You can go ahead. You can go ahead.
Okay. 4. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So we don't hear a whole lot about Adam's sons and daughters, except for they were just more of humankind on the earth, because people always say, where did Adam or Seth get a wife? Where did anybody, who did they marry? Where did they come from? Now you have a way of explaining to people where they came from. When they were created, they were part of that host that God had made before he rested on the seventh day. So that would be your answer, and you will have biblical references to back it up. So the sons and daughters were created and made through Adam. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Now, every time they say, when I was reading that and it says, and he died, whoever died, if it had not been for being leered away by Satan in the garden, or what we want to say, the serpent or whatever, the tree of life would have been there and none would have died. And that is, if you remember when God told them, let's just put a sword here in the garden, let's get them out of there before they eat from the tree of life, they'll never die, and they'll still have the knowledge of good and evil, and he did not want that to be eternal. Therefore, when we see how many years each person lived, and then it says, and they died, we don't know for certain if those were years like we live years, you know, like from 1919 to 1920 and so on and so on. We have no idea. And I've never seen or heard of any way to track that to see if they were our years or were they more like when the Bible says, with God, 1,000 years is as a day. You can do a whole lot with that. And I don't know what their years were like or how many days and nights were the years. And it goes on to give the genealogy from Adam down through his offspring and tell the number of years that they lived and who they begat and what they did. And I'm going down here. I'm going skipping all the way down because it's all the ones that they live a certain number of years. Methuselah is one you often hear of in the Bible. And he lived, Enoch was his father. He walked with God after he begot Methuselah. That's verse 22. 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Could you imagine being 300 years old and having kids? I can't. I can't. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And God took him. Now, this was so interesting because you'll see it later when you study the Bible with some of the prophets. It doesn't say Enoch died, did he? What would you do with that? When you see that it says all the days of Enoch, well, even before that, go to verse 22 and it says, Enoch walked with God. Verse 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Well, that was about one of the youngest people to have a child, because all the others had hundreds of years and they begat someone. But it says Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, again it says, and he was not. For God took him. What do you think about that? Anybody?
Okay, well, I have my hand up.
Okay.
It's funny because I've heard or read about Enoch that he did not, like, die in the physical, but that's what was always the reference. That he walked with God, like God came for him and he walked with him. He did not physically have like a death experience in the way we would understand or know death.
Okay, and that's what I believe they're trying to tell us, because they make an emphasis with everyone, and he died. But Enoch does not die. He is taken up by God to the heavens. What happens in, I'm trying to think of the prophet's name, that gets taken up in a whirlwind. He doesn't
Elijah?
Die. I'm sorry?
Elijah,
yeah. And there's a chariot that comes for him and takes him up into heaven. But he doesn't die. He doesn't have a grave or anything like that. And some of the other characters in the Old Testament, they actually want to be buried in certain places, and were their bones were carried to places and buried. So pay attention when it tells you someone walked with God, and the fact that they did not die in the sense of what we know to be life and death. I'm going to start reading Lamech, because we know that Lamech has a little story to tell of his own. Verse 26, and Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Methuselah died, but his father didn't, or grandfather it would be, I guess. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. Do we know Noah or not? Saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. What is it saying? What do we know about the ground being cursed?
You have a hand up.
Somebody should.
Yes, one second. Miss Betty, you're unmuted.
This was in reference to Enoch not dying, but the Lord taking him up, and Elijah. And in the Catholic faith, we too know that he took Mary up. She assumed into heaven. She did not die.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do they give you a scripture for that?
There's not too much in the Bible about Mary other than she agreed to be the mother of God. But we always celebrate the Feast of the Assumption, where he assumed her into heaven and she became queen of heaven. She did not die.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I often wondered about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. What about this name called Noah? And what they say because the Lord had cursed the ground.
I don't know.
What do we know about when God cursed the ground?
Is it because of Sodom and Gomorrah?
No. This is before that.
Oh, he cursed, didn't he, when Adam and Eve sinned? And he told them, ashes, you will go back to dust or ashes? Is that it?
Yes, he cursed the ground. That's it. You got to understand that they're going backwards because they're saying what Noah is to do. He called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. Remember when he cursed the ground and he told Adam he was going to have to work the ground? That was right after they ate the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody got curses put on them. We did do that on Thursday, didn't we?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And the writer of this is actually saying, this same, meaning Noah, shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. For some reason, they felt that Noah, and I didn't look up Noah's name and its meaning, but that would be good homework for you, to look up Noah's name and see what the meaning of it is. Because for some reason, this writer felt that he was going to give them comfort from the fact that they were going to have to work, toil with their hands on the ground. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm thinking about that.
Now we're going back to Lamech. Lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Were 770 and 7 years, and he died. And we're not really sure why he separates those years. Until maybe when we go to the next chapter, we will find out. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem. One of Noah's sons' name is Shem. Anybody remember how many sons Noah had?
Three.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't know.
You're open. Okay. Genesis, verse 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now, we know this story is being taken up where it left off, or either another writer is starting to tell parts of the story. Because we know that all those names in that lineage had sons and daughters. But it seems that, according to this writer, men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took themselves wise of all which they chose. They saw women. I guess the women were there for a while, and all of a sudden they took notice. I don't know, but it says that. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Look at that before we go on. God is saying, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Does that statement tell you anything about God? Just that little part of the sentence, there's a whole lot. What are you seeing there? I want us to read questioning every word that it will make sense to us or lead us down a path we have not been before. I'm going to read it again since there are no hands up, I guess. And
sorry,
the Lord.
I'm sorry.
Oh, is there a hand?
There's a couple of hands up now.
Okay, go ahead, Kelly.
One second. Miss Betty, you're unmuted. Miss Betty, you're unmuted.
Okay. For me, that means that the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, because he knows man has a spiritual and a human and divine nature. And that human nature is sometimes flesh, he will fall to the flesh. He will sin. And so then are the times where the Lord will always not strive with man.
Okay. I won't answer until the other hands are related.
Okay.
Is that all, Betty?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes.
Okay. Is there another hand, Kelly?
Yes. Give me one second, please. Ms. Sharon, are you unmuted?
Who, me?
Yes.
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when it says, my spirit shall not strive with man, for he also is flesh, well, is it women of flesh? And don't we have spirit of God?
Okay. When it says man, we mean humankind is what we mean.
Oh,
what it actually means.
All of humankind.
Right.
Okay.
My spirit shall not always strive with, and we can change. That's why it was a point of being made to say Adam means humankind.
Okay.
And because of the writers and the time period in history, everything was written in a male dominant, what do you call that? It's a male noun or pronoun, whichever we want to call it. I'm not sure. But there's a part there that we're not getting. Can you see it, Sharon? Is anybody open?
It shall not always strive with man, mankind.
Or say humankind. That'll help you.
Okay.
The rest of the sentence.
Basically saying that his spirit, the Lord's spirit, so there has to be a spirit that's going to be with us. So are we talking about the Trinity now?
Nope. I want you to look at that whole sentence.
And his days shall be numbered.
No. Start at verse 3 from the beginning to the end.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. That's confusing.
Why?
Because the Lord is.
You can say it. It's not against the law.
The Lord is spirit, and man is made of flesh?
No, it's not saying that. Read what it really said.
And the Lord, my spirit, his spirit, the Lord's spirit,
Why do you dwell on the word spirit more than any other word in that sentence?
Man and flesh. Those are the three that I'm caught on.
What does also mean in a sentence? The word also.
Also means more of. And also something else.
Okay, I'm going to the center tomorrow. Also, Sharon.
Me too.
Right. Sharon is going to the center and also a friend of hers. What does that mean?
That means me and someone else.
Okay, are doing what?
Going somewhere.
Okay, so
together.
When you see, okay, let's say Sharon and I both have red hair. No, I have red hair and also Sharon.
That means we both have the same color and possibly come from the same place.
Okay, so what does this sentence mean? Anybody? Help Sharon out.
Help me.
Go ahead, Kelly, help her.
And then Ms. Frances has her hands up as well.
Oh, well, let Frances go first.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to hear Frances.
Okay. Wow.
You can mute Sharon back for a minute.
Yeah, please.
I am. 1 second. Okay, Ms. Frances, you're unmuted.
Well, the only thing I was referring to the fact that at the beginning when he made man, and he's saying that, you know, when he decides to end it, he says that you will return to dust. Dust you from dust. He made us from dust, and to dust we will return. That's why he says I won't remain, and he won't remain in man forever, since he is but flesh. It means that we will return to the earth that he brought us from. So in that way, that's the end for man, because he goes back to the earth that God made him from. If that, you know.
That's on the way to being what it means.
Partly understanding.
Okay.
You can't remain here forever, and he's getting ready to do something about man anyway, from what we can see about in chapter 6, what's going to happen with man's turning into something that God doesn't want us to turn into. But I thought of from dust you're made, or from dirt you're made, and you'll return to dirt, or return to dust, or to ashes, ashes to ashes. And that's how he's saying, my spirit shall not remain in you forever.
But he didn't say will not remain in you. He said he doesn't want to strive with them. He doesn't want to be in contention with humankind forever.
Okay.
Part of what you said, I want you to hold on to it, but there's another part I need all of us to let go of. So whatever, after the next hand or the last hand we have, Kelly, if it's you, then I will share with you what I feel this is opening us to understand. Okay?
Okay, I'm going to mute you back, Ms. Frances. Okay, I don't know why it takes a minute. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so after listening to everyone and looking at this, what it is saying is that where it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh.
Use humankind instead of man, okay?
Okay.
Just so we can all understand, okay. It's not just a man.
Right.
Okay.
So my spirit shall not always strive with humankind, for that he also is flesh. So meaning that he also is in flesh in terms of Jesus is the flesh form when we go back to the Trinity. And I think also Ms. Frances kind of touched upon it, because so it says that in the flesh that our days would be where it says, yet his day shall be 120 years, meaning that would be our, I guess, age range or whatever. I got confused. There was something else I got from that. And I'm not sure I meant that he also is flesh. Oh, because what it also reminded me of is, do you know how, I don't know if it is the ascension or descension, when Christ comes back, like Christ was, when Christ came, he was in the physical. And when Christ left, that's when he gave his Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't, oh, I can't find that scripture. But it was
okay.
Almost like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think you're trying to go too far.
Okay, well, and I won't go too far. But basically, that's what I got from it, that at that point, he's not going to strive with us. It's saying that also means both. The Lord,
yes, it does. And for some reason, we have difficulty in believing that God is flesh also. Because that's what this... Pardon?
But isn't that what the whole, what Christ is, the flesh form?
Okay, let's go back to Genesis 1, when he says, let us make humankind. And we discuss the us being what? God, Spirit, and Jesus, because we got Jesus from John, first chapter of St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and not anything was made that was not made with God. That was Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was flesh. The Spirit was Spirit, and God is God. And so when we look at this, God encapsulates or is combined in totality. He combined everything that he was a part of or talking to with in the beginning when he says, let us make humankind in our image. So that meant the image of the humanity, the image of God, and the image of Spirit. So when it comes, I guess man was getting all out of sorts, and the Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with humankind, for that he also is flesh. Humankind is flesh like us. Humankind is spirit like us. Humankind is what? Like God, in his image, in his likeness. And he said, yet his days shall be 120 years. And I always tell people I want to live to be 120 years old because that's what scripture says. I don't know if I'd like it that long or if the body will hold up that long, but that's what scripture says. Humankind was created, according to this story here, to live 120 years. And it's kind of interesting because the previous stories, all the people were living hundreds of years, not just 100 years. But God says, I don't want to be in contention with them. We were probably just hard-headed back then. And he said, well, we'll take care of that. We'll let them live only 120 years, and then we'll go back to, it doesn't say it here, but the earth. He'll return to the earth. So that's why I say everybody had a piece of it, but everybody didn't quite understand that God is referring to himself also as flesh, that humankind is flesh, as spirit, and is God, like in his image and in his likeness. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, if somebody...
There's no other hands up. I don't see any other hands.
Okay, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. See, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is a product, you might say, that's supposed to resemble God in his likeness, in his image, with his characteristics, and yet, for whatever reason, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And we know that if humankind was made in the image of God, that should mean that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart should have been holy, should have been good. Remember when God created everything, and when he created mankind, humankind, he said, it was very good. And now look at it. And it repented the Lord that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It's kind of imaginable, like if you had a kid and you gave him everything, you tried to teach him everything, and for whatever reason they went awry. And it would grieve you and make you question, where did I go wrong? God was upset, and it grieved him at his heart. And okay, we're getting ready to end. Let's finish this verse, or we can leave. And the Lord said, I will destroy humankind whom I have created. I'll destroy him from the face of the earth, both humankind and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. And then next week, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's where we're stopping today. Did we have any questions before we end tonight? Kelly, you have to look for hands still.
I am. I don't see any yet.
Okay. Any questions before we go on to close out? Finish reading chapter 6. And if you start with 7, but think about it as you read it. And we will continue next week. Same time, same place, and I hope I have a computer that works. Any questions, comments, anything? Okay.
Nothing.
All right. Well, I'm going to do our closing prayer, and I wish that we would remember Una in prayer for her healing and power and for her family. Lord, we just thank you for this time together with you and your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each life represented here and the family of each one. Lord, we ask you to touch Una and her family, all the families that need so desperately to know your power and to know your direction and word for their lives. Have your own way, Lord. We are merely your children, seeking to know what we need to do to please you. Continue to teach us. Continue to open our eyes, mind, and spirit to you and your word and the Holy Spirit. In your Son Jesus' name we pray and we say thank you, Lord, and amen.